Chops TV.
You will be chopped.
Know what that means? Licking my chops.
Today I will show you how to do a karate chop.
Simply saying, no, he doesn't have the chops to do what it takes.
New thing. I'm busting chops.
Welcome to Chops TV, featuring Jennifer Lopez. Now here's Chops.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chops TV Live. And thanks, everybody, for coming out. But before we start, I have been requested by my wife to always ask her how she's doing before we get into the nitty-gritty of the podcast. So, Jen, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Better than I thought I would. Yeah, I feel good.
All right. And right before we get started, I have two yes or no questions that I wanted to ask the crowd first and be as honest as possible. The louder the cheer, the bigger the yes, but you can be completely honest. Don't feel any pressure to cheer a certain way. So first off, did you guys enjoy the Fall Guy?
Yeah! No.
My second question, did you enjoy the first half of the movie more than the second half of the movie? Okay. That's okay, but here's my problem with action comedies, and it's also a rom-com in there, which is one of the reasons that we picked this movie, because we are on the search for the next great rom-com. And this one, the first half for me, I thought was on the right line, but the problem with the action comedy is they're simultaneously making two movies at once, and you're most of the time only going to like one or the other. So you're going to like the action side, or you're going to like the comedic side, but in the third act of an action comedy, this always happens, and it's a big problem with them, they drop the comedy, and they have to get through the plot, and they have to go through it. And that is where the movie always loses me. Because I'm more of a fan of comedy, I'm more of a fan of a rom-com than an action movie. And not that it was bad, but that's where the movie just, like, it was like, boom, right in the middle. When they have that fight in his apartment, and then he gives all the stuff, the movie just completely changes its tone and isn't ruined for me, but just completely different to me.
You got it all out?
Yes.
Okay. I think I disagree with you just a little bit. The way that it was paced in the beginning kind of confused me. I was like, when are we going to get to those action set pieces? And then we did. And then I was, you know, totally on board. What you were saying about the action piece element, I don't know if Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt had enough romantic chemistry to carry it. So leaning into some of the action-heavy elements, I think, served the movie better. But I don't know. It's just my opinion.
You don't think they had chemistry together?
I think they had, like, buddy-buddy, you know, like, friendship. And, you know, sometimes you kiss your friends. Not me. But sometimes you do. Maybe in that way. But I don't know if I felt like they're longing to be together, you know?
I thought it was interesting, though, because it did feel like a movie that was, because the action is good, but it's not great. It's not the best action movie I've ever seen. It's funny that, like, Furiosa was the trailer right before it, because Mad Max Fury Road, that's a ton of practical effects, too. And that's just such a good action movie.
I don't know, because this one felt like it was honoring the show more, which maybe we'll talk about in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we watched a couple episodes of the old show, The Fall Guy.
Right.
And a lot of those stunts felt like you could easily have made that in the 70s with, like, the practical effects element.
I did love the practical effect element that they did with it. I mean, all of those car crashes, I mean, to the naked eye at the very least, look real. Who knows? There could be some CGI helping out. But you're right about that. And I like the juxtaposition that they did, where they had this huge CGI, filter over the color of the movie that they were making, and then the movie that we were watching was not that. It was much realer, like, in shot in camera.
I felt like it was a better movie. If you like to watch, like, documentaries on Netflix about how movies are made, I think people will be more interested in that than the romantic element of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. That was some of the stuff that I liked at the end, too, was all the things on set and dealing with that and seeing what that looked like with Emily Blunt in the, you know, as the director and everything. As far as, like, a nitpick for the movie, just a few things that stood out to me is, like, well, why is that? There's narration at the beginning and at the end. It's one of those kind of movies, but it's not. They just use that to do that. I thought that the movie was almost calling out its own flaws throughout it. whereas they were talking about, oh, well, what do we do in the third act? When they're talking about the movie within the movie, what do we do within the third act? And then Ryan Gosling says to Aaron Taylor Johnson when he's beating him up and when they're outside and he's in that robe, Ryan Gosling says, oh, you're just doing this whole exposition dump. And it's like, yeah, that's what the real movie in front of us is doing now.
They did it with the split screen, too, where they're like, how should we handle doing the split screen? And it's almost as if the PA in the actual movie, when she's saying, well, what if, you know, when they're working on the script, what if we just address it in the movie? Like, we're trying to come up with the ending of the movie. And she's like, that's a bad idea. But in the movie, they're trying to figure out, oh, well, is it actually nostalgic or is it like in a cool way to do with split screen? So it's like really meta, more meta than I expected. Like, well, instead of just like putting the split screen out in front of you, we'll just answer our own question and just like have you decide.
They did a lot of that stuff where they were playing with the expectations of the audience and also bringing up things that they're doing in both the fake movie and the real movie.
Also, too, like playing off of what the audience may or may not already know, I think a lot of people know that Tom Cruise does his own stunts. And it almost felt like they were kind of making fun of him in a way. So like if anyone's a Top Gun fan or, you know, maybe you might be a little bit pissed off by this movie because he like famously does his own stunts. But with like deepfakes and stuff, it's like, oh, but they said Tom Cruise's name in the damn movie, too.
Yeah, no, they did, because he was talking about the deepfakes and putting Tom Cruise's face over it, because he was, like, the most famous deepfake person when, like, those were first coming out. People were doing, like, TikToks with him, and people were like, what is this? Is this real? I think there's a part of that as this movie is a love letter to stunt performers, because, you know, you saw the little thing at the beginning with the director and Ryan Gosling. The director, David Litch, he was a former stunt double, as he said. In fact, was a stunt double for Brad Pitt, which makes sense because he directed Bullet Train, a movie that stars Brad Pitt, also Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Ooh, I do. Can we just talk about, even though he's so, so bad in this movie, he's so, so cute.
Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Yeah, he's like a little darling man.
Yeah, no, he looks great.
And he plays it so well, like...
I thought so once we decided we were doing this, I was like, I'm going to stop looking at promotional materials, but I had seen the trailer before. I thought Ryder was going to be the one who was dead in there.
I thought so too.
But all the actors are supposed to look alike.
No, they're all playing each other.
They're stunt doubles.
I swear to God, they did a shot where he's in the tub.
Did they do a deep fake?
We have to look at the trailer again because that was misleading a little bit. I feel taken a fool of.
Well, they will do that in trailers. They will edit certain things. Yeah. You know, it was famous, like Thanos and the gauntlet in one of the Avengers ones, there's a scene where there are less Infinity Stones than he had in the actual, like when you see the movie at that point, actual shot, there are more Infinity Stones. So they do that in trailers every once in a while, which is funny that we get a trailer at the end. I like that they filmed enough of Metal Storm that they were able to put a trailer together.
Which does happen with real movies, like actors will drop out usually mid-movie, they won't film the entire thing.
Well, they're usually not charged with murder.
I was going to say, except for that one time with, who is it? Maybe we just won't talk about that. I was going to say, they filmed the whole movie, and then at the very end, they were like, oh, well, he might be going to jail, so we're not going to actually have this movie with this person.
Yes, that
happens in the real world.
Yeah, I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but you're right.
I can think of multiple that are not appropriate to talk about in public.
Okay, we'll go with that. It's interesting that you think they had more of that friend chemistry, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. I do think I can see your point there, but I think they're both just so charismatic that the movie was really just, at least that first half too, especially letting them kind of carry it and like pushing, like how far can we take two beautiful people who are very charismatic and have them push the movie along before we really get into it? Because that's the other thing about the like first half versus second half is the movie doesn't start until an hour in, really.
Yeah, that's why I was talking about the pacing in the beginning, because it felt like I felt the runtime of this for sure. And I don't know how long it was, but it was
right about 2 hours long. Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be like 15 minutes. Not as long.
No, they basically took an episode of The Fall Guy from the 80s and stretched it to 2 hours instead of 40-some minutes, and that's kind of what it was. And it hit all those beats, but because they stretched it, the onset that is kind of a cold open to those episodes. We've only seen like 2 episodes of The Fall Guy, so we're not experts on it.
Yeah, for context, we picked the ones that had the most views on YouTube, and then the one was about roller derby, and I forget what her
The other
name
one was
is.
A resort, and it was like a paramilitary group.
Yeah.
But they jumped the truck in both of them.
And in both cases, the thumbnail for the roller derby was the hot blonde from the show in a bikini, so I get that one. And then the second episode, they're at like a nude resort. So that also makes sense why it has the most views on YouTube.
Yeah, so in the show, they start on set, and he's doing some sort of stunt, and then he gets his assignment. He's got to go and do something. He's a bounty hunter. He's got to go get somebody because the stunt doubling isn't paying the bills for him. So they do that in this movie, but they have to set up the whole story. So you get the set scene. Then you get that he's, you know, a guy who's down on his luck. Then you get more set scene, and then he gets his assignment as the bounty hunter. But even that is, but they do that in the show too, but they spend a lot more time with this. From him to figure out that the original assignment of go find Ryder, that's not actually what's going on. There's more to it, and there's somebody who's doing something even more nefarious, and now he's got to figure out who that guy is.
Well, by the end of the second episode that we watched, the U.S. military gets involved for some reason. And they, like, the U.S. military then assigns him. He's like, even if you didn't want to do the job now, you're going to do it. And it sort of, like, escalates beyond what a normal bounty hunter would do. It's sort of in the same vein of the movie, I think it takes from the show. Where, like, he's not supposed to be entangled up in this, like, setup, I guess, this frame job. But did you think that the car was as important to the movie as it is to the show? Because almost the show felt like that car is a fourth character. It's like the hot blonde, Lee Majors, the
and Howie,
the himbo, and then the dog. I mean, the car.
Yeah, well, and then they have the lady who gives them all their missions and stuff as
dog well. Dog carried the movie also.
The dog did carry the movie.
The dog did so much work.
Well, because it was kind of just like there a little bit. That they like drop the dog off at the dog park and you're like, okay. And then all of a sudden, boom, the dog's in the movie. It jumps the fence and now it's a sidekick.
Well, one of the dogs, only one of the dogs knows French. So I guess that's the one that's coming along. They left the other two dogs at the dog park.
Well, if it doesn't know French.
They're still there.
Okay, they're in Australia. That dog knows French. Maybe he thought that was good cover because they speak English in Australia. Yeah. And now I'm the only one who's going to know how to command this dog. He'll be a very good sidekick. Mm-hmm. He'll only listen to me. Yeah.
Fun fact, I did have a friend who had a German Shepherd who only knew Russian commands. But none of us knew Russian. So we were like, your dog's dumb. She's like, no, it just knows Russian. So I think the dog was smarter than us.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I definitely don't know Russian. So if a German Shepherd knew Russian...
I know. There's so many layers to it. It was definitely like an op.
But yeah, you talk about the truck. I feel like the truck was in there for people who were fans of the show. And then they could say, hey, there's the truck. You know, the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the screen. And then they put him in the other truck throughout there. And then when they're on set, based on the headlights, and I don't know if they ever showed the logo clearly, but it looked like a lot of electric vehicles. Because they're pushing those a lot in movies right now. Because that's what all the manufacturers are trying to throw out there. Electric vehicles don't rev like that. So they're still like going for the action.
Do they? Not?
No, electric
vehicles.
Why? Because it's a completely different type of engine. There's no combustion.
But is it?
It's a battery. Does your phone rev when you turn it on?
Don't ask me about engines and batteries. I'm just here to be cute and talk, okay? I don't know about engines and batteries and cars.
But
all it needs is a muffler, no? I know what a muffler is.
A muffler is for that. An electric car doesn't need a muffler. It doesn't have exhaust. It's not burning.
Oh, my God. Look, we have some questions. You want
to
grab one?
We'll get to the questions in a little bit. One more thing on the truck. Like I said, it was an Easter egg there for people who have seen the show, but I did think that it was odd that the promotional materials for this movie didn't really seem to tell people that it was a show. So is old enough to have remembered watching the show, actually? Yeah, I can totally, you can see the line there. Because I announced that we were doing this for this movie, and Bo Bishop on Bishop and Friends was like, The Fall Guy, I used to love that show. And I was like, it's a show? And yeah, lo and behold, it's not only a show, it is what this is based off of, even down to Colt Seavers. Like, it is fully based on it. And
oh, snap.
Yeah, they seem
to... You're right. I missed that detail.
They seem to want to capture some of the older audience that would get the name recognition, but also not tell people who don't know that it's just yet another, we dug up an IP that we own, and we're making a movie about it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I do think one thing they could have taken from the show, though, instead of Thunderstruck when he decides to go back, they should have had Ryan Gosling sing the original theme song of The Fall Guy, just like Lee Majors did in the 1980s, because apparently Lee Majors was powerful enough that he's like, I'm going to sing the theme.
Hollywood, what are you doing? Call Mark Chops Finch. That's a great idea. They did rely heavily on the soundtrack for callbacks.
Yes, the soundtrack was really good for me because it was personally just a lot of music that I like.
Scratch your itch, yeah.
For you, probably All Too Well was the only one that stood out.
Talk about using a song at the perfect time, okay?
Was that the 10-minute version? Do you know it well enough to know for sure if that was the 10-minute version or the original shorter version?
I don't know if it was. Was it? No, inconclusive. If it had the one verse that I know is from the All Too Well 10-minute version, okay, then I would be able to tell. But great use of a song in a movie because it starts off like kitschy and a joke, but then it actually pays off as like a sentimental moment.
Was it the sexy bacon on top of the movie for you?
Yeah, that's the secret. I'm always the sexy bacon.
I thought I liked that it was All Too Well too, because when it happened, it popped in my head. I think Jake Gyllenhaal could play this role too, really well.
You shut your mouth.
I don't think it would
you
be different. They're different
shut
performers.
Your mouth.
But I think Jake Gyllenhaal has the correct comedic chops and then the ability to do stunts and stuff.
No.
No?
Jake Gyllenhaal is too like tortured, you know? Like he had the opportunity to do that in Roadhouse. And I mean, he kind of does.
It's all tongue in cheek in Roadhouse.
Here's the difference. Jake Gyllenhaal could maybe do this movie, but only Ryan Gosling can do this movie and Barbie. They are a different.
That's another reason why he should have sang the opening. Ryan Gosling singing is super hot right now. He just stole the Oscars by doing that.
We don't know when this movie came out, okay?
We know when it came out.
I mean, we don't know when it was filmed. it could have been filmed prior to the Barbie being released, but I don't know.
Fair enough.
And I will say this. Stop giving Emily Blunt a microphone. We know she could sing. She didn't need it. That was like one of those. You can cut that a little bit for time. We don't need to see the whole.
Yes, now that you mention it, you're right. When they finally do kiss and then you have the action climax right after that, it really takes away from the rom-com-ness of it.
Yeah.
And doesn't, you're like, okay, I guess they end up together. Yeah. But that's not really what you're rooting for.
Yeah, you just want the climax part of it.
Yeah, and that I will say that got a lot better. It was the middle part between when he's interrogating him and then they throw him off to that ending on set. But that final bit where he's driving him and getting him to confess, and they were at least, I think it's because Ryan Gosling is so talented, that they were able to inject some of the comedy back in during those moments when he's trying to get him to say his name and say everybody else's name.
I wonder how much is ad-lib from him or not.
I was curious what was ad-libbed in this movie, because I think there was a fair amount of it, and the scene that stood out the most for me was when he was in the trailer with Gail when he first, after his first day there in Australia, and they're talking back and forth. But just some of the lines, it looked to me like, hey, let him run a little bit, let him quit back and forth, and we'll edit it all together. She just has to get through the plot details of go find Tom. Mm-hmm.
So would you recommend it, though?
Yeah, I would recommend it. I think there's a lot for multiple people. I think the action comedy thing is something that, in my opinion, holds movies back, but it doesn't mean that it's a bad movie, mm-hmm, per se. And if you like rom-coms and if you like action, I think you get enough of both of these, but it's probably, if I had to go off the top of my head, like a B- for me. Mm-hmm. Closer to a B than a C+, though.
Okay. I think this movie falls into like a perfect category of movies while I'm on vacation I could throw on in the living room and people will like go and sit down, watch a little bit, go to the pool or whatever. It's like a perfect movie for that.
Yeah, you're right. It would be, if I still had cable and still flip channels.
If I had one.
it would be one of those movies that could, The Fall Guy's on USA. Boom, I'll watch a few minutes of that, mm-hmm, and then it goes to commercial and I might flip away. But you're right, because it was so different at certain points tonally, you kind of would get, if it was like edited for TV and you got the commercial breaks, you would kind of get a little section of movie, mm-hmm, each time. Would you watch, while we're talking about would you watch it, would you watch Metal Storm?
I would, okay. I want to say no, but knowing me, being a little, well, I don't want to call myself the
sci-fi fantasy junkie. Is that better?
Yeah, more so like
Jason Momoa stan,
a slut for Marvel movies, and it was giving very Marvel, so I would probably spend my money to see it.
You
and
took
then
like
regret
15
it.
Seconds to say, oh, let's see if I can say this right, and you landed on slut for Marvel movies.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to come up with, a different, a nicer word for slut. Not that it's a bad word, but you know.
I think Metal Storm looks terrible. I think it's supposed to look terrible.
Yeah,
but
that's true. That was her magnum opus, by the way.
Well, it was interesting when they do the fake trailer at the end, because she was a camera operator at the beginning. It's been 18 months.
That's
and
crazy.
Gail says this is her big break, and it's like, okay, so maybe she's directed some things, but they also label it as from visionary director Jody Moreno, and it's like, isn't this her first movie?
Yeah, it seems...
Who? Well, she has no name recognition. No. Nobody knows her as a visionary director yet.
The studio would never clear that.
No, they would just throw Jason Momoa's name all over it at this point, especially because they have to clear all the bad PR about their original star murdering somebody.
Now, that's the real question. Does this movie even see the light of day, or does it get shelved? I think in the real world, we're not touching that with a 10-foot pole. There's like weird pasta, you know, on the internet.
Creepypasta.
Creepypasta. There's like a whole creepypasta page about this movie that never got shown to actual people, instead of it being like a blockbuster hit.
My favorite scene was the karaoke, which you were talking about beforehand, that maybe we'll go home. We have a karaoke machine at home because I like to sing.
Because
sometimes.
Why doesn't everyone?
Sometimes I don't even do it for an audience. Sometimes I do it when I'm home alone. I like to sing karaoke. I find it fun. But I thought the karaoke mixing with the scene where they were driving around in the dump truck, that was my favorite scene of the movie, because I thought it did the good combination, too, of the action and the comedy.
Wait, our friend Rex just hit his head. Rex go big boom. All the things fell off the wall.
Oh.
Monty
Python and the Holy Grail, another great
ghosts,
movie.
The ghosts are trying to commune with us.
Just go ahead and take that,
questions.
Rex. Okay, we're going to switch to the questions. Thank you to everybody who has submitted one. If you wanted to get one in, the papers are right there in the middle. But it looks like we've got a pretty fair stack here. Jen, cover the mic while I go and grab them all.
Like this?
No, to talk.
Cover. Oh! I'm not in the biz.
Yeah, it's an industry term, guys. Cover the mic.
I was worried about the air fresheners. Why no one's taking an air freshener for their stinky cars?
This first one is from Papa Chops.
Who's that?
Let's see if we can guess who that is. How many total stuntmen were actually in this movie? Well, that's more of a trivia question. I don't know.
Yeah, but how am I supposed to know that, Dan?
On that
I'm
note,
I'm not the director.
It was an awful lot.
Probably, that's true. They did have a...
Well, I bet there were a lot of stuntmen that got cameos that, you know, that these guys know, because it was supposed to be a send-up for stuntmen, so they actually got acting roles. But then on top of that, there were a lot of stunts, so there had to be a lot of actual working stuntmen in it.
Also, I know, like, that fight scene with all the stuntmen was supposed to be cool. It was giving, like, Anchorman, the different news crews are about to fight.
It was... It was the kid who is bullied in a high school or middle school movie, and he's like a nerd, and all of his friends are like, oh, you got to stand up to the guy, blah, blah, blah. And then he finally does, and then all the nerd kids decide to band together and take out all the jocks. That's what that scene was to me.
Gotcha.
Next question is from Nate and Maddie. Thanks for coming out, guys.
Ah, Mickey Latte.
In the movie, Emily Blunt shows off her pipes with a rendition of Take a Look at Me Now by Phil Collins, karaoke style. What is your go-to karaoke song? That's a great question. It depends on what mood I'm in, but one of my favorite ones that I've done multiple times is Ice Cream Man by Van Halen, because it starts out real slow, and you can keep with it. Sometimes a bad
okay,
need
we don't need the full thing.
But then it picks up, so, just like Take a Look at Me Now.
Here's your problem with karaoke songs. You either pick the ones from the 80s that have like a really long guitar solo in the middle, so it takes too long, right? You have to pick crowd pleasers for karaoke. So then alternatively, if he doesn't go for 80s, he'll go for really sad 90s breakup. And I'm like, this also isn't the vibe. So... We need to meet in the middle there somewhere.
I have definitely sang Don't Speak by No Doubt multiple times, which is not in my range
great
at
song.
All.
Great song. Great song. Not good for karaoke.
Another one from Nate and Maddie. Is the Chops and J-Lo universe, in the Chops and J-Lo universe, who is the actor and who is the stuntman? I'm the stuntman.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, you're the beautiful one who gets all dolled up and everything. I just kind of show up.
No, don't. No, because even, no, clearly you guys don't listen to the podcast because he said all multiple times, I'm the brand. Okay, so if he's the brand.
I know, I said it's not called J-Lo TV. That's different than saying
right,
I'm
the brand.
Right,
that's really different. That's really different.
So you think I'm the actor?
I just go out there and do like the hard emotional work, you know?
That's what the actor does. The stuntman does the physical work.
All right, you're right. You do the lawn and stuff, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's what stuntmen do, the dishes and mow the lawn. This one from Mitchell. Why is Chops always right? Also, congrats on the live show. This was awesome. Well, Jen, I think that question is for you. Why am I always right?
Rarely right.
Rarely right.
Rarely right. The only reason why it seems like he's right more often is because I'm wrong a lot. But when I'm right, people don't take recognition. They're like, oh, Mark was right. No one's ever said that, actually. No, he's never right.
Next one is from Steph. Are we sad that they didn't do karaoke at the end because I am.
A lot of these questions.
Well, the karaoke really stood out. Like I said, it was my favorite scene of the movie.
My favorite scene was when the guy in the costume was like, yeah, I had a really similar situation with my wife and her sister.
That was a funny scene where the one thing about that scene is it doesn't work if the gender roles are reversed because then it's a director with like all the power, like putting on the spot a female performer. And that's like a big thing that like, you know, Hollywood just had to deal with a bunch. But
yeah,
you flip it that way and it goes okay, I guess.
No, I think it's equality of the sexes.
Oh, that now Emily Blunt is allowed to bully Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, she gets to wield her power in a really, really terrible ways by making him do that stunt 8 times in a row.
At least he didn't get hurt there. I wish
that's feminism, actually.
Thinking about the stunts and like, oh, I'm glad he didn't get hurt during that because that obviously would have been tough for Emily Blunt's character, Jodie, to deal with. I wish that figuring out that Tom Ryder?
No, who cares? Whatever. It's Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah. I wish that figuring out that he was the one who dropped him was a little bit more of a mystery that we got to like unravel instead of him just saying, hey, I did it.
No, I'm okay. He's like a dumb dude. He doesn't get enough carbs.
You need carbs. Your brain runs on glucose. Hey, after my weight loss, I can agree with that sometimes you don't eat enough and you go haywire. To finish Steph's question, though, she goes, what song would Ryan Gosling sing? And that's interesting because we were talking about how he's on top of the world as being a singer right now, but we only get Emily Blunt's karaoke.
I want to say, like, it's something from his Mickey Mouse days, like 90s boy band.
That's like
Backstreet Boys, yeah. Something.
He could totally come out there and, like, oh, him and all the stuntmen could do You Are...
That's the one you go with.
That one they all get a part, and so they can, and then they tell me why. Yeah, you can bring up, you know, the Dan character with them and everything.
No, I like it. I don't think it's right.
Well, but he would.
No. Yeah.
All right. Well, did you pick a song?
No.
Okay. The next one is from Liz. You said you were on the search for the next rom-com. What, in your opinion, is the best rom-com to date? And if you can't choose, what's your top 3?
Ooh, this is funny. We did a snake drop with our friends a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it was like a Mount Rushmore thing, but we were taking ones off the board because it was being drafted as we were going along. And then we set it up bracket style and came up with the answer to which one we thought was best, which ended up being...
I know it was from my pool. I'm not sure if it was How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or if it was...
That's one of them, though. That is definitely up there with one of the best rom-coms of all time, going back to the 90s. I like Notting Hill, but I like Three Weddings and a Funeral more with Hugh Grant. And then because I'm a fan
That's more like drama, though.
Three Weddings and a Funeral is not a rom-com?
Not the British one.
No, you're thinking of Death at a Funeral.
Oh.
Three Weddings and a Funeral with Andy McDowell and Hugh Grant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one's great.
Yeah,
and
that one's good.
Because I'm a bigger fan of comedy than I am of the romance part of it, I always got to throw one of these in there. And my favorite of that kind of genre where it leans more comedy is Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, so good. Die. Die. Die.
Okay, and what about you for a top three of rom-coms.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I flip between Made in Manhattan and The Wedding Planner. I'm going to go Wedding Planner because Ralph Fiennes.
Who's in Wedding Planner?
That's really funny. You were funny with that one. And then my third, I don't know. I'm going to go like 10 Things I Hate About You or something like that.
Oh, I do love 10 Things I Hate About You. And we had just watched another one, the Anyone But You. That was another adaptation of a Shakespeare play brought into modern times. Also, on that note real quick, is Sydney, Australia becoming the rom-com capital of the world or something?
Yeah.
Because they both had the, what is it, a symphony hall or whatever? Mm. That, you know, that's the famous landmark in Sydney. And both movies have that as a huge centerpiece in it. And they both came out within, I don't know, 6 months of each other.
I guess Georgia was, like, booked up, because they usually film a lot of movies in Georgia to make it look like New York. So New York's out, Sydney's in.
Yeah, well, it's wherever you can get the most tax breaks. So apparently Australia's government was like, we'll give tax breaks to romantic comedies.
If you're filming a movie or need a tax break, move to Sydney.
The next question is
Wait,
from...
Shrimp on the Bat. Nope. Can't move there. Can't do the accent.
There weren't a ton of Australian accents. I guess Emily Blunt, I know she's British, but her accent was carrying it. Her voice. I guess, yeah, she's a good singer, but her voice is so beautiful.
Oh, is it? No, it is. It's good. She's good in...
You're the one who, when we were watching Anyone But You, is basically just drooling over Glenn Powell.
Have you seen him?
Glenn Powell or Ryan Gosling? Who are you choosing?
Oh. In a situation of kiss, marry, decease...
I guess I only gave you two, so I got to throw in a third one in there. Matthew McConaughey, because you said you'd love 10 or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, marry Ryan Gosling. I feel like we could build a really good life together.
Seems like the most fun to talk to.
Yeah. Make out with Glenn Powell, because duh. And then I guess Matthew McConaughey's dead.
Well, yeah.
That seems like a pretty solid lineup.
He would be very hard to marry, I feel like. He would say a lot of weird things to you. He's always saying strange things, even when they film him for commercials.
Imagine trying to get him to do anything like on task in a timely manner, and he's just talking like this. And it's like, we got to go.
Plus, you'd have to become a fan of the Texas Longhorns, because he is...
I'm not moving to Texas. I'm not moving to Texas.
He literally has a title with their football program. It's something like Ambassador of Culture.
What?
So it's nothing. It's just a
Texas. So yeah. What? Corn?
Horns down. That's a flag, yeah. Rex. That's a 15-yard penalty. Next question is from Maggie. Maggie, thanks for coming out. Did you catch the Easter egg? So both of us, I think it's because we were here early and setting up. We kind of forgot to hit the bathroom before it, so we both really had to go. So as soon as the VN showed up, we were ready to come out here, make sure we were set up here, and hit the bathroom. So no, we missed it. But apparently during they had some bloopers there at the credits, but then they went into a cameo from Lee Majors and Heather Thomas, and they went and got Aaron Taylor Johnson and arrested him. So they're like doing the bounty hunter thing.
I missed it.
Oh, they blew him up. So they didn't arrest him. They just blew him up.
Lee Majors, murderer.
Oh, by the way, spoiler alerts for The Fall Guy for anybody listening at home.
We'll put that in at the top too.
Next one is from Kathy. Kathy, thanks for coming out.
That's Mrs. Hibberita to you.
Jean-Claude, the brilliant stunt dog who understands commands in French, do you think you might teach Kit, that's our dog, who sometimes you might hear in the podcast, she's usually chewing on something so she's not barking as much. Do you think you could teach Kit a new language and put her in the movies? Will you be putting in a stunt room in the man cave now? So yeah, I just completed my garage turning into Chops Tavern. I guess I'd like to name things after my nickname, Chops.
Oh, but I'm the actor. Right. Right.
Okay. Well, then I guess we'll have to set up. We'll get like a trampoline or something, and I'll throw you from the top of the garage, and you'll bounce off. Boom.
Yes, like a cat.
Stunt work for you.
Cable, yeah.
There you go. I think that Kit would actually be a decent stunt performer because she's a great leaper. She was just running around the yard yesterday, and when she came to like where the fire pit was, she was jumping over like the whole fire pit. So, but the hard part would be the training her, and then on top of that, training her in a different language, because I don't even know another language. So I'm not sure. I couldn't train my dog in English very effectively, so I don't think I could train her in French either.
Yeah, Kit was a mascot for this show until she started barking too much and started crying. So she got fired from being the mascot for Chops TV. So I'm not sure that we could rehire her. she's like cute and like smart in a dog way, but she's not like super, you know, all the lights are not on at home sometimes. So it'd
just
be a little
like
hard.
Me, cute and smart in a dog way.
They should. You know what? Another great dog performance last year was from Anatomy of a Fall.
Uh-huh.
Falling dogs. Perfect. They really should start awarding dogs. The unsung hero of movies.
The dog from Anatomy of a Fall is like getting its own TV show. Did
Are you,
you
serious?
See that? Yeah, I don't know many details on it, but
Is it in German?
I don't know. I don't know what language the dog speaks now that we're on dog languages for that. But I would assume it's the dog speaks German because, yeah, that was a German-produced movie.
Interesting.
Best dog performances in the movies ever? Air Bud, of course.
Lassie, what are you talking about?
Lassie.
Bro, stop it.
They probably made a Lassie movie, but Lassie's more of a TV show.
No. Well, yeah, but
Turner and Hooch, there's a good one.
That one is good, yeah.
Baxter and Anchorman?
No, Baxter does not do his own stunts.
So we're
that is a doll. That's a doll flying off that bridge. You know that.
That's how I roll. We're about to get to Mama Chops' question. It's the last question here. But she actually got me a book about the making of Anchorman for Christmas. And I read the book. And apparently, Baxter was supposed to disappear. And in test screenings, they lost the audience because they were like, you killed the dog? You can't kill the dog. That everybody hates whenever you kill a dog. So they had to go back and edit that Baxter comes back in and like barks at the bear and settles all that, which was actually a reshoot of the ending anyways. That wasn't even the original planned ending of Anchorman. So, but Baxter learns to talk to bears in that movie. That's more impressive than learning French.
And he can speak Spanish too.
And he can speak Spanish. And eat a whole cheese wheel. Yeah.
No, I don't care. There's got to be a better one.
Let's get Kit in the movie so she can perform. All right, Mama Chop's question. What breed is that cool dog?
Oh my god! The dog in the karaoke.
Is it a it's a schnauzer. Is that is it a pincher?
It does look like a maverick, but I don't.
A kelpie. Did you look that up
from the peanut gallery?
Then why did you ask the question?
Why'd you ask?
Okay. A few more things that I wrote down in my notes here. I liked that he jumped the boat backwards, which is something that he said he could do.
They did a really good job setting and paying off stuff in the movie.
Yes, it would have been even funnier if Ryan Gosling was in the Miami Vice remake that they made in like 2008 or whatever. But like, does his age even line up well enough to have been in Miami Vice?
It doesn't matter.
Matters to me.
Yeah, that's true. It is a movie. Let's suspend our disbelief.
Ludacris was in there when they go to it. I mean, he's not in the movie, but he sings in the movie during that song that plays. And we are always looking for Ludacris in our movie. So there's a Fast and Furious reference, something we watched all the Fast and Furious movies this year. And then Ludacris shows up because whenever we got bored in a Fast and Furious movie, we were just like, where's Ludacris?
He needs to come back. Anytime there's a dull moment in the Fast series, it's like Ludacris is going to get me back into this movie.
Because the truck is such a big deal in the Fall Guy show and they wanted to do that, but they gave that one scene where he quits his valet job and he's about to go back and he's doing all the donuts with the guy's car and then he parks it and everything. Ryan Gosling loves to be behind the wheel of a car in movies.
Yeah, he's in that movie.
Drive.
Yeah, which makes sense.
And that one was advertised as a lot more action, but it's like a really like slow burn methodical thriller. And people thought they were kind of like bait and switch there on the marketing.
He met Eva Mendes on that movie.
Is he married to Eva Mendes?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know that?
You know so much.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Also, at the beginning here, what did you think of Mr. Pickle's Wild Ride?
Wow.
For those of you who don't
was not
know.
Expecting that.
Jen hates pickles. She has a physical reaction if they're even on her plate.
Yeah, I smell them and gag. Like, I cannot. If it touched the bread that the sandwich is on, like, I can't eat that piece of bread. It's honestly, it doesn't make sense. I should probably go see a therapist about it. But I hate pickles. So that was, not only did we get Pickle, we didn't get Nicole Kidman, which... The Grand View Theater is really cool, so I guess that's okay. But
we need a Mr. Pickles Wild Ride and a Nicole Kidman crossover.
Yeah.
That's what you want. I could see that. I could see that working. And then the one other thing that stood out to me, at first I was like, okay, you know, the cliche drug scene and then everything gets all wacky. But I like that it at least served a purpose and gave us that really stylized fight with the black lights and everybody in neon and the sparks kind of flying in the air, plus the unicorn like recurring joke for the next 10 minutes or so. I thought that was pretty funny.
But I thought they hit the unicorn too hard.
Should they have only done it once?
I think that last unicorn was too much unicorn.
Well, I think they followed kind of the rule of three on it.
Was more than three, I think.
It was when he was at the car, and then mm-hmm. it was in the hotel room, and then it was in the lobby.
Again, though, it was in the hotel room a lot.
Yes, it was. I mean, that was a long shot.
That was a long shot. They did that a lot. They had really long takes for no reason.
No, I noticed that right away, actually. Mm-hmm. There was a shot early on. It was when she was on set and she was learning that he was the stunt guy that was there. That was a really long shot. And as I watched it, I was like, this is actually, I think, a one-er. But they weren't trying to really show off. It wasn't like the big, long tracking shot like Scorsese and Goodfellas when they go to the club and everything. It was just a very long shot. And maybe they just wanted to show off the coordination. I think... I'll change it from I think to I know this David Leitch guy is he's very stylized because he also directed mm-hmm. Bullet Train, as I said, and that movie is just oozing with like here's things I can do and how I can highlight and neon and just like in this movie. So I think he likes to show off a little bit in that sense, but I don't think he's a bad filmmaker. For people who don't know, some of the other movies he's directed, Deadpool 2 and Fast and Furious is Hobbs and Shaw, the only one we haven't seen.
For a reason.
Yes, I thought it was funny that Jason Momoa was then in the movie after they had... So he's directed a Fast and Furious movie. Then Jason Momoa is in it, who is the big bad in the current what's going on in the Fast and Furious universe, for those who don't know. And then he's in the movie at the end. So I think all these guys just kind of pal around, and they were almost using it as a way to just poke fun at each other.
Maybe, and he's a Marvel guy, too. So, well, DC, actually.
So that's completely different.
I know, but it big movie action set pieces, summer blockbuster. Like, the whole thing seemed meta in the choices that it made.
Yeah, they were definitely trying to just poke fun a little bit at the industry
yeah.
in general. And that's, yeah, the bringing in the stunt guys and stuff. So I liked my dad's question about how many stuntmen. I actually want to look into that to see, like, what their roles were, whether some of them did have some of those, like, actual, like, speaking cameos and how many of them were just the actual stuntmen. So Ryan Gosling is playing the stuntman of Aaron Taylor Johnson, and then somebody has to play Ryan Gosling's stuntman in real life. So, mm-hmm. like, think of the, you know, I like the layers of acting. It's why, newsflash, secret, this has now turned into a podcast about Face Off, which happens every, like, fourth podcast or so.
God, it's always Face Off.
Well, think about it. It's Nicolas Cage pretending to be John Travolta in Nicolas Cage's body, pretending to be somebody else, like, in the movie. Look at the layers of that.
Ogres have layers. Onions have layers. You could have easily made it Shrek and you decided to make it Face Off. There are two kinds of people in this world.
People who reference Face Off.
And then people who reference Shrek, yeah.
Fair enough. Neither of those are rom-coms. I will give this one because it's still... It's hard because we said the conceit when we went into this that to be a rom-com, the romance and them getting together has to be like the central thing. And I think it still is here, but it definitely shares that with the mystery and the action and everything. But it is still triumphant that they get back together. And the movie felt it important enough that they get back together. So I'm giving it official rom-com stamp, but it does share some of its pedestal with being an action movie.
Okay, so if you're giving it the rom-com stamp, where does it fall on our current list?
I think it's another one of those movies where, like, I liked a bunch of the individual parts. I'm not sure that it fully melded together. I agree with you. This is common on our podcast, but movies don't have to be 2 hours long, guys. Nothing wrong with an hour and 40-minute long movie. I think this movie actually would have been perfect for something like that, but I say that about every 2 hour long movie, mm-hmm. unless it's really good. Like, Dune 2 is 2.5 hours long. And
Dune 2, Duned.
Dune Part 2, more Dune. But I think I'm going to slot it in third right now, and that kind of goes along with this, that the better the actors, the better the movie, the higher production quality will get you higher up on this list, because the first two are Anyone But You, the Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell one that we talked about, and The Idea of You, the one that just came out on Amazon Prime that was on our podcast last week, starring Anne Hathaway. I think I'm going to slot it in there at third right now. I think you're going to put it a little bit lower because you love what is currently at third. With Red, White, and Royal Blue.
I do love that movie. Uma Thurman's the president. That's Incredible. So yeah, it's not definitely not as good of a rom-com as Red, White, and Royal Blue. So I guess I'd have to slot it before Upgraded.
Okay, so we're right in the same vicinity there. I'm going to, because it, like I said, it kind of had to share the spotlight of rom-com with it, I'm going to go ahead and go with yours, and I'm going to put it now at fourth. But it is another one that failed to get to the next great rom-com level. So the search continues.
Would you see a Fall Guy 2?
I think it would be really good if they made it into like an hour-long TV series, and like each week he had a different bounty that he had to go do. That would be, and like you could put him in the truck, they could jump the truck over things, maybe bring in a character named Howie that kind of acts as the comic relief. I think that would really work.
Yeah, I think that's what it's missing.
Also, I didn't notice until we were watching it and looked it up, and then he was in the movie there at the end. Lee Majors, 85 years old, good for him.
Good for Lee.
Yeah. So
I should be so lucky.
I also watching the show, I think I'm gonna watch a few more episodes. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun little time. It was an 80s show with a guy in a car. That's what Bo called him, and I watched it and I was like, that's exactly right.
See, I think for me, I like Columbo a lot, and while I was watching The Fall Guy, I just really wanted to watch Columbo. So
okay, so because we have the two TV set up, well, once we get the one replaced, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But we can put Columbo on one TV, mm-hmm. and then we can put The Fall Guy on another TV, and then I can bring the third TV down from upstairs, and I can
you
put like
sure
a,
can't.
I can put OKC Dallas on.
You sure cannot. I forbid that.
All right. Well,
we're maxing out at two TVs in the living room at any given time.
All right. Well, I'm glad it felt like from the question at the beginning that everybody did enjoy the movie. I hope you enjoyed the podcast as well. So thank you, everybody who came out here. Give yourself a round of applause. Woo!
This was actually my birthday party, too. I tricked you all to coming
yes,
hang out
sure,
with me for my birthday.
Make sure to say happy birthday to Jen. It is her birthday tomorrow. She is turning, what do we say, 29 for the second time or whatever?
Yeah. 30.
That's 30. Another great rom-com. 13 going on 30.
True, yeah. That is a good one.
Now Jennifer Garner just makes stupid straight-to-Netflix family movies.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
So relatable when that thing falls on her head and she gets sent back in time. No, she goes forward in time.
Yes, it's like fairy dust.
Did I ever tell you? No, I told you about that time where the cable box fell on my head. I got it. My temperature shot up to 104 degrees, and they didn't take me to the hospital.
Jen had a lot
That's
of
my parents.
Ailments as a child. She once ran into a dumpster taking a shortcut home.
Very stuntman-like.
You broke your foot and missed like 3 months of fourth grade or whatever.
Okay, that's really personal, so I don't know why you would even bring that up. Okay, let's
you,
end
yeah,
it.
You're right. You maybe you are the stuntman.
I know I am.
That makes me the face, I guess. And also, again, thank you to everybody who came out and watched the movie. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And a big thank you to the Grandview Theater and Draft House and Andy, especially, who helped me coordinate this. We've been working on this. My first meeting with him was actually on Valentine's Day.
That's
so
cute. Andy.
So we sat right at that table and we set this up, and then we've been looking at it. We picked this movie out. Boom, we got it. So it's been 3 months in the making. We do have to pick a favorite question to give out our prize. I think I like the French dog one the most.
Okay.
So Kathy, you are the winner. You will get the full prize pack, so you can get everything. Anybody else, feel free to take any one of the prizes, too. They're all for you. And then your other prize is on one of our next few podcasts.
Yes.
We will review a movie of your choice. So what movie will that be?
What do you want?
I don't know.
Does
it have to be a movie?
Yeah, you're going to get cut for time, though.
Can it be a Netflix
Sure, show? Yeah. A show?
It's just one season?
It's so far, it's just one season.
How many? Was it 8 episodes?
Is it Baby Reindeer?
Okay, if it's 7 episodes, I think we can do it.
Okay. Okay.
It's so crazy.
Okay.
It's so crazy.
If that's what it is, we must abide.
Okay, well, we'll check out Baby Reindeer and look out for that on one of our next podcasts. Again, thanks everybody for coming out. Thanks to Andy and everybody and the whole team here at Grandview Theater.
By people who subscribe to podcasts and viewers like you.